Hey everyone, welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host Skylar Monroe, and this is the show where we dig into the chips, the silicon, and the data center tech that's powering the AI revolution. Big thanks to our sponsors Limitless AI, helping businesses actually integrate AI into their real-world workflows, and Ago Consulting, that's Ago Consulting, your go-to for silicon development expertise. All right, we've got a packed episode today. Amazon is taking Trainium outside of AWS, Meta is rolling out its own in-house chips, Broadcom is being called the AI bargain of the moment, and we're going deep on NVIDIA's Blackwell architecture and the GB200 NVL722. Let's get into it. Okay, first story, and this one is genuinely interesting from a competitive standpoint. Amazon has reportedly started negotiations to sell its Trainium AI chip to companies outside of AWS. So for context, Trainium has been AWS exclusive up until now. You could only get your hands on it if you were spinning up instances on Amazon's cloud. But now it looks like Amazon wants to go broader and actually sell the silicon to other data centers. This is a pretty significant strategic pivot. So let me give you some background. Trainium is Amazon's custom AI training chip. It's been developed through their Annapurna Labs division, and it's designed specifically to train large machine learning models. It's essentially Amazon's answer to NVIDIA's H100 and H200 GPUs. Now, Trainium 2 is already out there on AWS, and the performance numbers they've been publishing are competitive. Not NVIDIA level in terms of ecosystem maturity, but competitive on raw training throughput for certain workloads. The big question has always been, can Amazon build software support that matches the hardware capability? Because here's the thing, NVIDIA's secret weapon isn't just the GPU, it's CUDA. It's decades of developer tooling, libraries, optimized frameworks. When you buy an NVIDIA chip, you're buying into that whole ecosystem. Trainium uses a different programming model, AWS Neuron SDK, and getting developers to adopt that has been an uphill battle. But here's why selling to outside data centers is such an interesting move. If Trainium is only available on AWS, then the only people evaluating it are AWS customers. The moment you start selling it externally, you're putting it in the hands of a much wider community of engineers and data center operators. That broader adoption could accelerate software development, drive more community support, and honestly, just get more eyes on the hardware. It's the classic platform flywheel. More users means more tooling means more users. It also signals something bigger. Amazon is clearly trying to position AWS silicon, not just as an internal cost-saving measure, but as a legitimate competitor in the merchant silicon market. That's the market where you're selling chips to anyone who wants them, not just using them yourself. Intel, NVIDIA, AMD, they're all merchant silicon players. Amazon entering that space is a real statement of intent. And for NVIDIA, every serious alternative that gains traction outside of one company's private cloud is a reason to pay attention. This is a story worth watching very closely. All right, story two, let's talk about the investment angle, because the AI chip space has been absolutely wild from a market's perspective. There's a piece making the rounds arguing that NVIDIA and Intel have both rallied too much, and that Broadcom is actually the AI chip bargain that investors should be looking at right now. And honestly, I think there's a really interesting hardware thesis buried in here. So first, NVIDIA. Look, nobody disputes that NVIDIA makes incredible hardware. The H100, the H200, Blackwell, these are generational products, but the stock has run so hard over the last couple of years that even incredible earnings sometimes aren't enough to move it further. When you're priced for perfection, any wobble in demand or any supply chain hiccup hits the stock disproportionately hard. That's just the nature of a high multiple growth stock. Intel is a different story. Intel has been trying to rebuild its competitive position in AI accelerators with Gaudi, and they've had some wins, but they've also had real struggles. Gaudi 3 has gotten decent reviews in benchmarks, but software support and ecosystem adoption have lagged. And Intel is dealing with a lot of other headwinds in their core CPU and foundry businesses simultaneously. So the argument that Intel has rallied too much is really about whether their AI execution can actually keep up with the enthusiasm. Now, Broadcom, this is where it gets really interesting from a hardware standpoint. Broadcom's play in AI is somewhat different from NVIDIA's. They're a major player in what's called custom AI accelerators. Specifically, they work with hyperscalers like Google to build custom TPU-style chips. They also make the networking silicon that holds these massive AI clusters together. And that networking piece is absolutely critical and massively underappreciated by most people. Think about it this way. When you're running a trillion-parameter model across thousands of chips, the chips themselves only matter if the data can flow between them fast enough. Broadcom makes the Ethernet and optical networking silicon that keeps those pipes full. They're basically the plumbing of the AI data center. And as clusters get bigger, the demand for high-bandwidth networking silicon grows proportionally. It's not as flashy as a GPU, but it's incredibly valuable real estate in the AI infrastructure stack. The other angle with Broadcom is their custom silicon business. Companies that want to get off the NVIDIA treadmill, reduce costs, optimize for specific workloads, often turn to Broadcom to help build their own AI accelerators. So Broadcom actually benefits whether customers stay with merchant silicon or go custom. That's a really resilient position to be in. Whether this makes it a screaming buy at today's prices is a question for your financial advisor. Not me, but the hardware story is compelling. Story 3, Meta is rolling out its own in-house AI chips, and this is coming just weeks after they made massive purchases from both NVIDIA and AMD. And I know that sounds like a contradiction. Why are you buying external chips if you're building your own? But this is actually a really deliberate and sophisticated strategy, and it tells us a lot about where hyperscaler AI hardware is heading. Meta has been working on custom silicon for years. Their chip is called MTIA, Meta Training and Inference Accelerator. The version they're now rolling out is designed primarily for inference workloads, meaning running models after they've been trained, not the training itself. And if you think about Meta's scale, billions of users across Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Threads, the inference compute demand is absolutely staggering. Even small efficiency gains at that scale translate into hundreds of millions of dollars in savings. So why buy NVIDIA and AMD at the same time? Because training and inference are very different workloads. Training a large language model requires enormous flexibility. You need chips that can handle all kinds of different operations efficiently. And you want the best hardware available because training happens relatively infrequently. NVIDIA's H100s and AMD's MI300s are fantastic for that. But inference is more predictable. You're running the same model over and over again with different inputs. That predictability is exactly what custom silicon is designed to exploit. This is the same playbook we've seen from Google with TPS and Amazon with Inferentia. You use merchant silicon, NVIDIA, AMD, for the heavy training lifting where flexibility matters. And then you deploy custom chips for the high-volume inference where you can optimize every transistor for your specific workload. It's like the difference between a Swiss Army knife and a specialized chef's knife. NVIDIA's GPUs are the Swiss Army knife, incredibly versatile. Meta's MTIA is that specialized chef's knife optimized for exactly what Meta needs. The rollout of MTIA also signals that Meta's silicon program has matured to the point where they're confident enough to put it into production. That's a big deal. Going from a working prototype to production deployment is a massive leap. You have to validate reliability, yields, thermal performance, and integration with your software stack. The fact that they're rolling it out at scale suggests the hardware is genuinely ready. Long term, this is a trend that's not going away. Every major hyperscaler is building or planning to build custom silicon. Google, Amazon, Microsoft, Meta, they're all doing it. And while NVIDIA isn't going anywhere, the pieces of the pie that go to custom silicon are growing. For the broader industry, this means more demand for chip design services, EDA tools, packaging technology, and specialized foundry capacity. The AI hardware ecosystem is getting richer and more complex by the quarter. All right. Story 4, buckle up because this one is genuinely technical and I love it. SemiAnalysis has put out a deep dive into NVIDIA Blackwell architecture, specifically looking at tensor cores, PTX instructions, SAS, floor sweeping, and yield. This is the kind of architectural dissection that most people gloss over, but honestly, understanding this stuff is how you really appreciate what NVIDIA is doing with Blackwell. Let's start with tensor cores, because they are the heart of what makes modern AI accelerators so fast. Tensor cores are specialized hardware units inside NVIDIA GPUs that are purpose-built for matrix multiplication, which is the core mathematical operation in deep learning. Regular CUDA cores can do matrix math, but tensor cores do it in massive batches using fused operations that are dramatically more efficient. In Blackwell, NVIDIA has introduced new tensor core instructions called TCGen05, and the microbenchmarking results are eye-opening. The new instruction set introduces something called 2SMMMA, that's two streaming multiprocessor matrix multiply accumulate. Essentially, NVIDIA is allowing tensor core operations to span across two SMs simultaneously. Think of it like two workers combining their workspace to tackle a bigger task together rather than each working on smaller pieces separately. This unlocks higher utilization and better throughput for the very large matrix operations that show up in modern transformer models. Then there's UMA, Unified Matrix Multiply Accumulate, and TMA, which stands for Tensor Memory Accelerator. These are about how data moves in and out of the computation units. In AI training, data movement is often the bottleneck, not the compute itself. TMA lets the hardware prefetch tensor data asynchronously, so the tensor cores are never sitting idle waiting for data. LDGSTS and UBLKCP are related instructions for managing data movement between global memory, shared memory, and registers. Getting these memory operations right is what separates a theoretically fast chip from one that's actually fast in practice. Now, floor sweeping and yield. This is where it gets really interesting from a manufacturing perspective. When a chip as complex as Blackwell comes out of the fab, not every unit is perfect. Defects happen. Yield refers to the percentage of dies that come out fully functional. What NVIDIA does, and this is common practice, is they floor sweep some units, meaning they disable certain portions of the chip, in this case certain SMs, to salvage dies that have defects in those areas. The semi-analysis teardown looks at how SM yield affects the actual performance distribution of Blackwell chips in the wild. This matters enormously for data center operators because not all B200s or B100s are created equal. There can be meaningful performance variation, depending on how many SMs are active. Understanding the floor sweep patterns helps buyers and operators know what to expect from their hardware, and it also tells you a lot about TSMC's manufacturing process and where NVIDIA is in the maturity curve for this node. And they look at the speed of light numbers, which is chip architects speak for the theoretical maximum performance if everything is perfectly optimized. Comparing measured performance to speed of light gives you a sense of how close real workloads come to the theoretical limit. Spoiler, with good software optimization on Blackwell, you can get surprisingly close. The distributed shared memory work is also notable. It allows SMs to directly access each other's shared memory, reducing the need to go all the way out to HBM for inter-SM communication. This is a big deal for workloads with complex data sharing patterns. Okay, story 5, and this one is more of a systems and software story, but it's deeply connected to the hardware, so stay with me. NVIDIA has published work on achieving peak system and workload efficiency on the GB200 NVL72 using SLURM block scheduling. The GB200 NVL72 is one of the most remarkable pieces of hardware infrastructure ever built, and the scheduling challenge it introduces is genuinely novel. Let me set the stage. The GB200 NVL72 is a rack-scale system, meaning instead of thinking about individual GPU servers, the entire rack is essentially one massive compute system. It packs 36 Grace CPU chips and 72 Blackwell B200 GPUs into a single rack. And critically, all 72 GPUs are connected via NVLink, NVIDIA's high-speed GPU interconnect, with full coherence across the entire rack. That's never been done at this scale before. To understand why this matters, let me give you an analogy. Traditional GPU clusters are like a bunch of houses in a neighborhood connected by roads. Data travels between houses over those roads. There's latency, there's bandwidth limits. The GB200 NVL72 is more like one giant open-plan building where everyone shares the same floor. The communication overhead drops dramatically, and you can do things computationally that just aren't practical when you have to go over external network links. The NVLink fabric inside the NVL72 delivers insane bandwidth. We're talking about 57.6 terabytes per second of total NVLink bandwidth across the rack. For context, that's orders of magnitude higher than what you'd get going over even the fastest InfiniBand or Ethernet connections between servers. This enables a programming model where model parallelism, splitting a model across multiple GPUs, becomes much more practical and efficient. But here's the challenge. When you have a rack that functions as one unified compute resource, you can't just schedule workloads onto individual GPUs the way traditional cluster managers like SLURM are designed to do. SLURM was built thinking in terms of nodes and individual GPU resources. The NVL72 wants to be treated as a block. You either use the whole rack for a workload or you partition it carefully, but you can't just arbitrarily mix and match across the NVLink domain without creating serious performance problems. What NVIDIA has published is essentially a framework for block-level scheduling, teaching SLURM to be aware of the NVL72's topology and schedule workloads accordingly. This means treating the rack as the atomic unit of allocation, or defining fixed sub-partitions that respect the NVLink topology. It sounds like a software detail, but this is actually critical to getting anywhere near peak efficiency on this hardware. A rack of GB200s that's being scheduled naively could perform dramatically below its potential. The implications are pretty broad. As AI training scales to these rack-level systems and beyond, the co-design of hardware and software scheduling becomes more important than ever. The hardware is only as good as the software's ability to fully utilize it. This is an area where NVIDIA has a real advantage. They can design the hardware and then publish best practices for exactly how to run it. That tight integration is part of what keeps the NVIDIA flywheel spinning. For data center operators running GB200 NVL72 racks, this guidance is genuinely valuable. It's the difference between getting the performance you paid for and leaving a lot of expensive compute on the table. And that's a wrap on today's episode. We covered Amazon taking Trainium to the broader market, the investment case for Broadcom and AI silicon, Meta's dual-track hardware strategy, a deep technical dive into NVIDIA Blackwell's architecture, and how Slurm block scheduling unlocks the full potential of the GB200 NVL72. A ton of ground covered today. The AI Hardware Show is brought to you by Limitless AI, helping you put AI to work in your business, and Ago Consulting. That's Ago, your experts in silicon development. If you found this valuable, please subscribe and share with a friend who geeks out on hardware as much as we do. And check the link in show notes for more details on everything we covered today. I'll see you next time.